Of all of the beliefs and practices of the true Church of God, perhaps none is more visible and apparent than our keeping of the seventh-day Sabbath. Mr. Munsevice, in his very interesting sermonette, talked about the Sabbath in Russia. It is a foundational part of our belief system and a foundational part of our church culture. When learning of our beliefs and practices, some people may admire our principles, though they wouldn't agree with them. Some will be entirely indifferent to what we choose to do. I mean, after all, it's a free country. And others will draw criticism and maybe outright persecution. And we saw that in the examples that Mr. Munsevice gave in his sermon. It's interesting how sermons and sermonettes sometimes glove together. What is your view of the Sabbath day? Obviously, each of us is keeping it, or at least that's the general appearance we give to others in the church. But what do you really think of the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath something you look forward to? Or is it something you dread? Oh, the Sabbath is coming again. And I can't do this, and I got to do that. And I'd rather be here, and I got to go there. Is it something you dread? Is the period of the Sabbath day a time in which you honor God? Or is it not? Now, we're going to be looking at several things today. The title of my sermon is Honoring the Sabbath. Honoring the Sabbath. The first point is, according to the Bible, the practice of keeping the seventh-day Sabbath goes all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the book of Genesis. Actually, the recreation, not the creation, but the recreation of the earth, back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, we see the heavens and the earth being created or recreated. We see on various days various things being created. We see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blesses the man and the woman that he had created. This occurs when? If you look at the chronology, it occurs on the sixth day. Now, if you go into chapter 2, notice, thus the heavens, verse 1, and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. So God finishes working as the seventh day starts. Now, do you remember when we read in Genesis chapter 1, God says, he speaks things into existence. You know, he says, let there be, and there was. And the third day, let there be, and there was. And he says, let there be for each of the days. All the things he created it by saying, let there be, or I bring it into existence, or I want this to happen. Can you imagine the power where you just say something and it occurs? I'd like that mountain to be moved over. The mountain moves over. I'd like to form these 35 stars and bring them into existence. And 35 giant fusion stars come into existence. Well, God was doing that with the way he was creating things. He created things by speaking them into existence. The only thing he didn't create by speaking it into existence was the Sabbath. Nowhere does it say, and let there be a Sabbath. How did he create the Sabbath? Verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or set it apart. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. You know how God created the Sabbath? God created the Sabbath by resting it into existence. He rested as an example for us, and so we keep the Sabbath on that day. Jesus Christ, the creator in the Old Testament, this is who is doing all the creating, the one that's speaking it, he rested the Sabbath day. He Sabbathed, and that created the Sabbath. He didn't speak it into existence. He rested it into existence. So we see here that the Sabbath has been around from day 7. Sixth day being when man was created. Thus, man is created sometime on the sixth day, You can read about that in Genesis 1. The sun is setting. Seventh day is beginning. God rests and blesses the Sabbath. So man and the Sabbath were created less than 24 hours apart. God was restoring the earth, perhaps with a kind of glory, or at least a degree that it had before Satan's rebellion destroyed it. And he brought the Sabbath into existence. Men, although they try, brethren, men cannot make anything holy. You know, we want to make this day holy. We want to change the Sabbath from this day to that day. We want to make this office holy. Man can't do it. But God can. God made the Sabbath holy. Only God can do that. He created and sanctified this day as special before any law was codified. Might have even been before he gave any instructions to Adam and Eve. It was a creation ordinance, so to speak. I'd like to read you out of Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. The practice, this is under the article Sabbath, the practice of observing one day in seven as a time of rest and worship. This practice apparently originated in creation because God created the universe, or recreated the universe, in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So here we have the Nelson's Bible Dictionary describing what I just told you. Now, was there a Sabbath before man? No. There was not a Sabbath before man. There was not a Sabbath on the first day of the creation week, the second, the third. There was not a Sabbath 3 weeks before this. The Sabbath was created when man was created. We can learn something very important about the Sabbath from reading here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and that is that God, by example, shows that we must come away from our normal daily activities to focus on something different. We must rest from our labors. It is a day to learn and drink in of the things of God. Now, that doesn't make sense to most human minds. You mean to tell me that God has created a span of time for me to worship and to learn about him? Well, what about my job? What about this? What about that? How will this get done? But a yielded, converted mind understands that this is exactly what has happened, and it is a great sense of comfort and encouragement that knowing that God loved us so much that he created the Sabbath for us. Notice Mark chapter 2. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And mine has a heading in the section. It says on the top of page of verse 23, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, Jesus, the Son of Man, is also Lord of the Sabbath. You know who did the creating in Genesis chapter 2 and 1? Jesus Christ, the same one that is speaking to the people here. He says, the Sabbath was made for man. Therefore, before men existed, there was no Sabbath, because there was no need for a Sabbath. It was made for us. The Sabbath was made for us. We have a need for the weekly Sabbath that was created in us, this need, from the very, very beginning. God created in us a need to worship him. And God set apart this seventh day, and the Nelson's Bible Dictionary says one day in seven, because they're Protestants. We understand it's not just one day in seven, it's the seventh day in seven. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 does not say one day in seven, it says the seventh day. Exodus chapter 20, this is the command of the Sabbath being given in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now you might think, oh, this is when the Sabbath was given and originated. Here when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were given the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai after the plagues and all of that. Well, I just read you that the Sabbath was created from the beginning. So the Sabbath's been around a long time when we read about it being codified here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is in within your gates. For in 6 days, for 6 days, the in is in italics, for 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we rest on the Sabbath day. Two things are very apparent and very important when you read the Sabbath command here. One is that we must remember the Sabbath, and the other is that we must keep it holy. We must keep it holy. To remember means more than just calling something to mind and now and again. To remember means more than to recall. It means to retain in thought and from there to take action. Do you remember the example of Joseph when Joseph was in prison and he told the butler, "But think on me and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. Don't forget about me. I'm languishing here in prison. When you get free, you know, I've interpreted your dream and you come before Pharaoh and you're talking to him day in and day out. Don't forget me." That's the way we should look on the Sabbath, as constantly remembering the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is not a day that can be taken for granted, nor can it be taken lightly or flippantly. The Sabbath is to be remembered. It gets a special mention in our lives each week. Let's go to Isaiah. What are general instructions? People often say, "What can I and can I not do on the Sabbath?" Isaiah is a very good verse and chapter to turn to. Isaiah 58. Verse 13. You want instructions on what to do on the Sabbath? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. You remember Moses? And Moses went to the burning bush when he was a shepherd in the land of Midian after he had left Egypt. And he was a shepherd in Midian, and God was going to call him to do a work. And he sees this burning bush, and he goes up to the burning bush, the bush that's burning but not really burning, and he's amazed by it because it's not burning up. So he goes up to it and he gets near it and it says, "Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're on is holy." Couple of things. You can probably go to the land of Midian. It's not very big. And you can probably be somewhere or other close to where Moses saw God in the burning bush. And if you go there now, there's no voices and say, "Take off your shoes." You know why? Because the ground is no longer holy. You know why the ground is no longer holy? Because God's not there anymore. What made the ground holy was God put his presence in it. So he told him, "Take off your shoes, because the ground you're on is holy." Verse 13, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, people in the world pay lip service to the Sabbath, but step all over it. They do various things on it they shouldn't do. Some of us also, myself included, guilty in the past because we're all sinners. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor, nor speaking your own words. It's not a day to do your stuff. It's a day to do God's stuff. It's a day to do what God wants you to do. Calling it, you know, does a Sabbath arrive and you say, "Oh boy, I can hardly wait for the Sabbath to get here. I get to relax. I get to get extra time studying. I get to be able to read without distractions from work or whatever else is going on." This is a special time that God has blessed. It's holy. It's honorable. It's a delight. Or do you go, "The Sabbath is here again? Man." Verse 14. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and I will feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father. I will bless you. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So what should we do? We should turn away our foot from the Sabbath. We should, so to speak, take off our shoes. There are some things that you and I should not be doing on the Sabbath. There's other things that you and I should be doing more of on the Sabbath. It's not a sermon on what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath, but you can pretty much figure out what I'm talking about. The Sabbath is to be remembered. The holiness of the Sabbath day is a reflection of God's nature and character. It is a very special time, and we need to treat it and recognize it as such. If you had an important visitor coming to your home, would it change what you were doing? You know, something that you respected and loved and honored. You have this, whoever that person is, you had somebody you respected and honored and loved. And they showed up and they told you they were coming. You know, it's not a surprise visit. You knew they were coming. And they showed up. Would you tell them, oh, I'd like to deal with you right now, but I'm really busy. There's this nice series on television I'm watching. You can kind of hold off for a couple of hours. I'll get with you. Or there's this thing I'm doing in the garage. Or there's this situation at work. Or whatever it happens to be. We should honor the Sabbath as a visitor, calling the Sabbath a delight. The preparation day. The preparation day is a day before a weekly or annual Sabbath. So every Friday is a preparation day. Unger's Bible Dictionary states that this is a day on which the Jews made necessary preparations to celebrate the Sabbath day. When the Sabbath day arrives, are you prepared for it? Or as the sun is going down, you say, oh, I have to do this for the Sabbath now. I didn't get it done, and now I'm going to have to kind of change things around a little bit. We should be prepared for the Sabbath, brethren, when it arrives. We should have whatever we need done, done. We should have our physical work done. We should have, I don't want to be too specific here, but we should be prepared for the Sabbath. When your guest arrives at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is somebody you love and honor and respect, would you have everything ready for their arrival? Certainly you would. Sure. You're not going to say, oh, I knew you were coming, but I didn't cook anything. I knew you were coming, but the room you're staying in is a mess. Hope you understand. Now, when we put it into those kind of terms, it's like, oh, it's easy to see that, what we should do. Consider the Sabbath as a visitor who comes every week to your house. Do you receive him or her, the Sabbath, as an honored guest? Delighting in it. Happy to be there. Happy to be able to visit with them. In verse 14 of the scriptures we read, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Satan has done a wonderful job of filling our lives with so many details and issues that we have no time to slow down and relax. There are some things that are perfectly allowable, and we have so many of those. And there are some things that are just garbage that we allow into our lives that we could do without. And we let all of those things get into the way of us keeping the Sabbath properly. We rush headlong right into the Sabbath and never appreciate and take time to understand this wonderful 24 hours God has given us. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were working at a job or at some kind of situation where you were on the go 24/7, 7 days a week, and your boss told you, I'm commanding you to rest. Matter of fact, if you rest, I'm going to bless you so much that you won't even know you've missed the day. What would you say? Oh boy, that is great. Well, that's what God has done for us. God has told us, keep my Sabbath day and I will bless you. I will bless you. And that's what we should be doing. We should delight in the Lord. Notice Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. This is the holy day chapters, a listing of all the holy days. Leviticus 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy meeting, a holy gathering, a holy convocation. You've heard of convene our convention. Convention is where lots of people meet. It comes from this word convocation. Sabbath of Solomon is a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is a Sabbath of God in all your dwellings. We are supposed to meet with others of like mind, which all of us are here now doing. And that's good. It's very important that we do that. We should be meeting with others of like mind. Unless we're sick or there's some kind of unusual circumstances, God expects us to be here. This is not Arnold Mendes' command. This is not the Church of God's command. This is not the Jewish command. This is what God says. He says, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Notice verse 2 of this chapter, right above it. These are my feasts. The Sabbath is a feast day. Not only should it be a literal feast, you know, good food and all of that type of thing, it should be a spiritual feast. If you're going to have one good meal a week, and a lot of us don't suffer from that problem, if you're going to have one good meal a week, it should be on the Sabbath. If you have a special meal, it should be on the Sabbath. It's a feast. It's a feast day. And, you know, we tend to think of feast as spiritual stuff, you know, and we can. We can read it as their spiritual blessings. But the feast days were actually days on which people feasted. So have a nice meal on the Sabbath. You know, that's a time to get your family together. I remember when our children were growing up, every Friday evening, unless we were at somebody's house doing it there, we had a nice Sabbath Friday evening meal. All of us together. So it's a time, it is a feast time. Let's put the Sabbath into perspective. A couple of things about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of worship. It is a day of worship. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. How should we be doing our spiritual duties or keeping the Sabbath or anything that involves spiritual applications? John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming. This prophecy, brethren, is being fulfilled in you and me. This was Jesus speaking to the woman of the well. And she said, you don't know what you're doing, young lady. Or lady, I don't know how old she was. She was pretty old. She had seven men. But unless she was, well, never mind. But she was an older woman, apparently. And Christ is telling her, look, the time is coming. When? When what? This is a prophecy you're fulfilling. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This should be the tone for the Sabbath, brethren. Deeply respectful worship of our Creator. The time is set aside to commune with God more deeply and fully than generally than we're able the rest of the week. This is a time to do a little extra praying. This is a time to do a little extra studying. This is a time to listen to that sermon video or whatever. You know, this is not the time to be doing your worldly affairs. Whatever that happens to be. I mean, I don't want to get picky here. Because to everybody, everybody's got something different going on in their life. Our attitude should move from what is worldly and what is non-spiritual to what is spiritual. We should have a spiritual attitude towards the Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5. We're looking at the Sabbath being a day of worship. Hundreds of examples in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your servants. Verse 15, why? This is a special command to Israel. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt when you couldn't even keep the Sabbath because you worked all the time. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord, your God, commands you to keep the Sabbath day. I'm commanding you to rest one day in seven because you couldn't do it when you were in Egypt. We have been rescued, brethren, from slavery. Every week when the Sabbath arrives, you need to think about the children of Israel who were told to rest on the Sabbath day because they couldn't when they were in slavery. You and I, brethren, have been delivered from slavery. Think about the world and all the people in it, and think about what you know, and think about how God has blessed you, and think about how your life is different because you have the Holy Spirit. I didn't say you're better. They're going to have the Holy Spirit one day too. Some of them are probably going to outdo us because they have more character than we do. They're just not converted now. But we are, brethren. And God commands us to keep the Sabbath and remember that our ancient spiritual forefathers were not able to keep the Sabbath. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about days, you know, worship day on the Sabbath. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And what agreement, verse 16, has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This, brethren, applies to you and to me. God walks with us. God dwells in us. God leads us through his Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of prophecies you can read, and you read about, boy, those are interesting prophecies. You know that they apply to you and to me? These prophecies about I will dwell in them. Does God dwell in you through the Holy Spirit? Certainly does. This applies to you. I will walk among them. Does he walk among us? He does. Is he our God? Yes. Are we his sons and daughters? We certainly are. So these scriptures apply to us. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. We need to be careful, brethren, what we allow into our lives. What I allow into my life. What I allow into my mind. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. You know, that's an awesome blessing, brethren, to be called the sons and the daughters of the living God. And that's what God says we are. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And let's begin to read in verse 27. Now, before we do that, brother, let me ask you a question. Is it easy to keep the Sabbath? No, it is not, brother. Mr. Monsivais brought out some excellent examples of people who died for the Sabbath. And he just touched the tip of the iceberg. There are literally probably hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle Ages that died because of their belief in the Sabbath. They were willing to die for the Sabbath than to break it. So, question. What happens if you give up your life for the Sabbath? And probably never going to apply to us. But what happens if you give up your time? What happens if you have to get a different job because of the Sabbath? What happens if this and that? Verse 27 of Matthew 19. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all, started keeping the Sabbath day correctly, gotten rid of all of our old religious beliefs and all the things you've done, put that in there, and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And notice that Christ didn't say, Peter, you're being a little too physical here. Think more spiritual stuff. Peter said, you know, we've given up lots. What's in it for us? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, in the regeneration, when things are fixed back up, what does that mean? Well, when the kingdom comes. I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, Christ returns, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, this is me and you, this scriptures apply to me and to you. They're being fulfilled prophetically by us. And everyone who has left houses, properties, our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. God says, you know what? Whatever you had to give up for the Sabbath day, or whatever you have to give up to follow me, I can multiply it. I'm going to give you more than you've got, hundreds of times more than you have now, in the time of the regeneration, and you're going to have eternal life. Now, what would you rather have? What you got now, or 100 times what you have now plus eternal life? Duh, doesn't take much to figure out which one is better. And that's what God was telling Peter when they asked him. Now, not only is the Sabbath a day of worship, it is also a day to show love and good works. It is a day to show love and good works. Matthew chapter 12. Go back about 5 or 6 pages. Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 1, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and they began to belittle him, the Pharisees and all of those. Verse 5, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? They weren't profaning the Sabbath. They were profaning the Pharisaical Sabbath. Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, if I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, you're calling me into question about the Sabbath, which I created. Don't get mad at me because I'm breaking your Sabbath. Verse 9. Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. This is still on the Sabbath, brethren. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, notice how hypocritical they were. They got this man, they probably brought him to the front, and they said, Christ, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Instead of saying, you know, we would love you for you to heal this man on the Sabbath so that his arm would be fully functional, he could probably support himself, he could go into life blessed because now his body's working. You know, could you please do this? No, they said, is it lawful, probably with a lot of self-righteousness dripping off their words, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him at the end of verse 10. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? You have a little dog, a little puppy, a little cat. You have a cow. You have a horse. And it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day. There's no doubts that you would reach in there and pull them out. Of how much more value than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. And he asked the man to stretch out his hand, and he healed him on the Sabbath day. What does this mean? Well, it means that we should use the Sabbath to do good works. Visiting people in the hospital, writing letters, writing cards, calling people, establishing relationships, doing service for the church, doing service for people. Now, this doesn't mean that you become, that you decide to collect the garbage on the side of the road on the Sabbath. That's not what it's talking about. You know, I'm going to adopt a highway, clean the highway on the Sabbath. People take these verses all kinds of ways. What it means is you should be able to do good works, spiritual works, godly works, Christian works on the Sabbath day. Encouraging people, calling people, somebody sick, needs help, whatever. What should our attitude be in serving others? Let's go to the book of James. James, chapter 1. Are these things allowable on the Sabbath? Certainly are. Verse 26. You think you're religious? I think I'm religious. He does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is useless. You want pure and undefiled religion, which is something you can do on the Sabbath? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to do this. to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. A little bit of Bible study, a little bit of prayer, a little bit of spiritual development on the Sabbath, perfectly allowable. Somebody sick on the Sabbath day, you need to take food to somebody on the Sabbath day, perfectly allowable. Keep things in context, but there's plenty of things to do on the Sabbath day. What is your view of the Sabbath day? Has it lost some of the sparkle and specialness it may have had for you in years past? If Satan, by his attacks and deceits, can cause us to lose our zeal for the Sabbath and the rest of God's law, because the Sabbath is God's law, then little by little he will win. We need to take special care, brethren, that we welcome the Sabbath as a special visitor every week. The Sabbath is coming. We need to prepare for the Sabbath. We need to get our mind right for the Sabbath. We need to make sure that we have no other obligations that will take us away from the Sabbath, because we've had all week to prepare. As an instructor at the university, one of my common pet peeves is right before the exam or right before the lab, I mean like 2 minutes before the hour starts, somebody will walk in and ask me a question about something. I need to know this for the exam. And I always tell them, well, you should have waited till the last minute instead of all the time we have now. Do we wait for the last minute, brother? No, we should be prepared for the Sabbath. If you've got something going on this week, you should realize, how is this going to impact the Sabbath as it arrives? What do I need to do to make it possible for me to greet the Sabbath in the way that's biblically acceptable? Titus, final scripture, Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, expecting his return soon, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. These are some of the things, brethren, we should be doing on the Sabbath day. Keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, purifying ourselves, looking into the scriptures that talk about Christ's return, being godly. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, what can you do on the Sabbath to make yourself more godly? Basically, what can you do to draw closer to God? A whole slew of things you can do. Don't squander the time, brethren, that you've been given. Remember the Sabbath and live in it in such a way that we give testimony to any and all who will see. And keep it holy. Take your shoes off, brethren. Don't walk all over the Sabbath. Keep it holy. The Sabbath, we have to remember, brethren, the Sabbath pictures part of the plan of God, and it is a reflection of God's character.